Thank you, Matthew. You know, creativity in the expression of our faith in God, it's incredible, right? It's you can see it throughout the Psalms. You can see it through the music that we put with it. And trying to energize, trying to express what God has done for us, right? It's a very unique thing that we have in the human soul. And so I appreciate the creativity and the expression to God. And as I think about creativity and energy, this week I was at a travel seminar on Thursday and half Friday. And, you know, I was taken with the message of re-energizing, of circles of learning, and the concept of, you know, it's kind of, some people might think it's a bad phrase, but upselling, you know what I mean? And what's all this mean? And I'm thinking about this, and I'm sitting here and I'm making notes, not about the travel stuff. I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, this applies spiritually. How can we be re-energized? You know what I mean? I mean, and I had to give them credit. I mean, you know, sometimes you can say, well, we want you to have energy. Well, it's like we haven't had energy. But when you say, I want to re-energize you, it's like, well, wait a minute. I've acknowledged you have effort in the past. What are you doing now? You know, how can we ignite it? How can we move it forward? How can we engage? How can we have this positive approach? You know, they talked about circles of learning, both in our product and our destinations and technology and marketing. I mean, today, can you imagine in any business, in any world today, it's an incredible learning experience. Everybody's got an online class about everything. Why? Because there's tons to know. There's technology, there's marketing, there's new product lines. There's, you know, how many channels are there to do anything out there? More than we can count. You know what I mean? I say Roku, all of them, Roku and Twitter and X. Twitter doesn't exist anymore. X, you know what I mean? I mean, everything. Yahoo, Facebook, you know? We were talking today about something about Facebook, and we're like, well, everybody under the age of 40 doesn't use Facebook. What's Facebook? You know, only grandmas use Facebook. You know what I mean? And that's what market research says, by the way. Anyway, and how do you share product knowledge? How do you share expertise? This is the thing that every business and everything's trying to get excited about today. You know, our dear friend Hector Roybal, thinking of that his grandson was born this last Thursday. You know, Hector always talked about selling. And, you know, Hector was just this consummate salesman, always, for much of it, we knew it, his life was in cell phone marketing in the early days, and Hector would say, you know, sales is the ability to remain overwhelmingly positive in the face of absolutely abysmal results. I mean, he said, you know, he often said, he says, oh, I placed 9 calls and I got 9 rejections today. And I said, oh, nice, Hector. He said, oh, I'm nine calls closer to a sale. You know, he'd come to internalize this. How do you share your knowledge and advantages? So I got thinking about this from a religious perspective in our message. And I got thinking, you know, over in John chapter 17, I was reading President John Elliott's update today, not today, but a couple of days ago in the weekly letter. And he used the scripture of John 17 in talking about a unity and a oneness. But as I look at this in verses 20 through 26, I see something that's profound. In these 6 verses, I see a prayer offered by Christ for you and me. 3 actually specific prayers he offers. And this prayer is remarkable in these 2 aspects. One is that Christ expresses a desire for us as believers to be with God as he is. He wanted us to be with God as he's with God. That Christ saw this as the ultimate need to the human soul that's empty. And the second is that there's transformative power that Christ recommends here of being indeed in this divine relationship. Bob expressed the power of this, of seeing the plumber on the side of the van. We'll never forget Bob's plumbing story, right? What's the phone number, Bob? You know, 818-PLUMBER, right? No. But it's a great account. God delivered. You know what I mean? And God just didn't deliver from water. God's delivered us from ourselves. He's delivered our souls, our thinking, our intellect, for use in a wonderful way. And Christ saw that we and the people around him could be transformed. And he's asking God for this transformation. So today I'd like to look in these verses right here and talk about this from the point of view of being re-energized in our relationship with God and Christ, and thus in how we share that relationship with others. That it is an incredible, in the crass marketing terms, value proposition. We have the ultimate value proposition to share to anybody who's in want and need, right? You and I get to say, go to God and he'll answer you. How do you know? Because he answered me. You know, sometimes he tells me to wait. I get that. Sometimes he says, well, maybe no for now. But God, we know that God answers. We can remind people, this is where you go. Look, I don't have secret formula. I can't give you the business card, right? You know, here's the secret. Plumber card, right? You know, you just keep this in your wallet. And when your wife hears water coming down the wall, you just call this gold ticket. No, that's not it. We say, when you need, God will deliver. That's what you and I have to have the energy and the strength to do. And Christ asks for that here. So today I would like to talk about this. I would like to talk about this verse. Look at how the positive approach that Jesus puts on this in John 17 and verse 20. Because in this section, there's two things that happen. One, we are invited as a believer into the circle with God. We are invited by Jesus Christ to be with God. And the second is that we are invited to be with God, Christ, and thus each other in that same unique place. Invited by Christ. Let's look at that. I want to start in verse 20 because there's something unique here in verse 20. He says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. You and I believe because the New Testament writers kept this in their forefront. They wrote it down 30 years on, 35 years on. They say, you know, Christ said we should record this. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations. They remember these words. The Spirit gave them energy for it, and they wrote it down. And John remembers it this way, that Jesus said, I don't pray for these alone, but for those who will believe in me through their word. If you were there and you heard Christ and you heard him say that, what is this on John's heart and mind? He says, I heard him say it. I heard the one who was with God, who was God, say these things. And I'm going to tell people that you can be connected. You can be re-energized. You can have your souls lifted to be in touch with the Almighty God. This is what he has to say. That they may be one as you, Father, in me, and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Incredible words. Jesus' prayer here focuses, notice, on a deep personal union with God. It's not just a moral agreement. It is, Cambridge Bible for Schools and Colleges says, it is a vital living connection in which members share life of the one. We share life with God and Christ. That is rather amazing. You know what I mean? If I could bottle that, right, and put it on a cruise ship, you'd all be on the same ship, right? You'd all be in the same tour. That's what we have to say. That's what we have to get people excited about. The Bible speaks, you know, a lot. And there's an interesting section, and I don't want to go through it today because it's rather lengthy. Romans chapter 11, verses 17 through 24. It's this concept that we're grafted into this relationship. And actually, I kind of read through that, and I thought, oh, there's a lot of deep stuff in there. Don't go down that road today. But it's about this growing in unity with the Holy Spirit. Go over just a couple pages to John 15. In John 15, 3 and 4, as we explore this concept that Jesus invites us to be with God and invites God to make sure this happens. Notice what he says in verse 3, John 15, 3. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. How many times do we feel unclean? If we're with God, if we're with Christ, Christ brought us in. He makes us clean. God only sees us as clean. God only sees us as saved. God only sees us as connection because of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I have this power and I'm going to use it because of my sacrifice. You're clean before God. Jesus' own words here. Abide in me, he says, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Abide in me. This whole section over here in this prayer, it says that they may be one as you, Father, in me and I in you. It's an incredible concept of what's going on. I have to pause. I pause because, you know, I'm in this travel seminar and there's two big screens going, you know, and there's images of around the world. The music is playing. It's crafted. It's crafted in a great way. Why? They want us to sell every destination there is, right? You know, Viking Cruises comes and pays for breakfast, right? You know, this other cruise line pays for lunch. This other one, you know, sells their wares on the screen. What? Selling a dream. Selling getting away. What do we have? God says, your soul needs energized. And Jesus says, it can only come from being with God. Jesus knew the power he had. He knew what the disciples lacked. He knows that once we're connected, we're in. The phraseology is really unique here. How are we in? I submit to you that this energy, the best way to be re-energized in your relationship with God and Jesus Christ is through two things. One, it's the Sabbath and holy days. It's our grand, as we would say, benefit, our grand value proposition, Sabbath and holy days, and I'll explain why. And the second one is our daily engagement with this God in this environment of being at one. Look at this a moment. You know, we know if you go back to Exodus 31, verses 16 and 17, the Sabbath is, we often read it as this covenant. It's this binding thing. But do we read about it and thinking about, wait a minute, binding? That means I'm with God. Jesus is trying to say in this verse of 21, he says, that they may be one you, as you, Father, in me, and I in you. Jesus is saying there's no difference in us. We're more than tight. We are the same of heart and mind and intent. And that's what the Sabbath does. It reminds us, right, that it's this time where we're refreshed, that we're recharged spiritually and physically. It's our opportunity to connect with fellow believers. It's our opportunity to connect with God and Jesus Christ. Look, it showcases. I'm using these words because that's what, you know what I mean? So some people want to showcase, you know, compliance with oil pickup. I see Bob here. You know, other people want to talk about compliance with their tax code. Lauren's always making sure that their documents are in order to file the 1040 EZ form, right? Right? I mean, either compliance, what? But showcase what? A human soul that is not connected only to itself. A human soul connected with God, Christ is saying, it's everything. It's you and me and I and you. Jesus knows. He knows. He's saying, God, I know what they need. They need us. So I encourage us, as we think about our value add proposition of Sabbath and holy days, let's always think about the Sabbath on what we can do, how we do it. Don't introduce our children to what we don't do. Let's talk about what we do do, how we engage with others, how we take the opportunity to write somebody a note that we didn't have time to that week, or we pick up the phone, or we make sure that we share a meal together, we visit, whatever. This is how we re-energize ourselves. I mean, it's kind of bizarre. How many in this room, how many in this room went to visit a sick person one time and came away more inspired than when you went? Everybody, come on, put your hands up. It's the truth. It's the truth. Look, Jesus is saying, this is the world you and I inhabit. We go to help somebody who really is down and out, right? They're not, and guess what? We come away uplifted. How is that possible? That's what's possible with God. The love of God is energy, it's strength, it's vitality. This is what we're trying to get across. Jesus knew it. You know, look at this. Jesus understood this, and Paul wrote it to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 4. And I saw this verse at the feast because I was speaking on the eighth day, and I had another verse and I used it too. But now I went back to my notes after I read this one and I added it. It'll be, anytime I give that eighth day message, it's going to have this verse in it. Because what's it say? Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. This is what we're excited about. Our God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is the most exciting thing. We know that every person we meet, every person we know, every person that is down and out, we know that our God desires all of them. We're not special. All of people are special in God's eyes. They're all his children. Why is the verse John 3:16 work? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish. Does all mean all? All means all. Alexander McLaren says, because it means you and me. We want to talk about allness. Sometimes we have to talk about you and me. You and me before our God, and we need something. We need our souls cleansed. We need our souls connected to vital purpose, vital energy. And this is what God says. Jesus said, and Paul records it here, that who desires all men to be saved. When we put this in our mindset, all men, all people desire to be saved. This is why we have this hope. You know, if I can make a comment, and it's a tough yin and a yang, okay? We have an audience on Zoom, and we have the audience here. And for various reasons, the people on Zoom are on Zoom, okay? And the people who are here, here. And I know distance. Some of us here can't come every week because of distance and time and age. I get it. But I want to say this. I know this, that the energy in this room lacks when you're not with us. I just as the energy when you go to visit somebody is ill and you come away with more energy than you left. Let me tell you, when we're all here, we're on a holy day, whatever it is. I mean, it's just, it's the top of the world. It's a mountaintop experience. And I know not every Sabbath can be the mountaintop of mountaintops. And I realize that not everybody in Zoom, and some of Zoom cannot get here. I get that. But somehow, some way, you've got to reach out to God. If you're on Zoom, you've got to reach out here. You've got to be energized that there's a value proposition in us being together. There's a value proposition in that, because this engagement that we seek, whether it be Sabbath, holy days, or especially daily, is vital. Because if we can spend time in God's word, yes, I know, you know, it takes a lot to rise at 6 a.m. and study 3 hours before you go to work. It's not how it works, folks. I get it. You know how it is some days? You get up and the trash had to go out and this had to go out and this had to go out. Guess what? You're praying on the 210. Worse, you're praying on the 405. No, you pray on the 405 to be on the 210. Look, God will be with you wherever you are. You know, every new mom, right, realizes they pray at all kinds of different times, right? Because, you know, when the baby's awake, they're awake. The baby's asleep, you should be asleep. There's a different yin and yang, but you've got to use your time. You know, today we have all kinds of things. We have podcasts, we have music, Bible help, study groups, all to enrich your spiritual walk. Get connected. For whatever reason, be connected. Because this book, what's it say in 2 Timothy 3:16? Paul records it this way. 2 Timothy 3:16. He says, all scripture, you know it, is given by the inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Okay, fine. Sounds a little 1, 2, 3, 4. Why? Look at the why in verse 17. Why do you do this? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for good, every good work. Bob did a wonderful job of explaining perfect, to becoming completed, to be in the process of being used and equipped for something that God can use. That's what this word complete is. It's the same word as perfect over in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. Was it 10? Yes. It's the same verse. It's the same concept. You know what I mean? We think perfect is a watch where we can produce all the parts so precisely that almost every one of them is same. God's not after sameness. He's after you and me. He's after our DNA. He's after a crafted life that will, at the end of life, is well worth his effort of 70. Because in the spirit world, he'll use it all. I have a saying sometimes when talking and thinking about the eighth day, you know, and everybody who's a prophecy watcher, et cetera. My theory is this. Frank Theory 101, maybe it's 105. I haven't decided how many I have yet. But anyway, it's this. Do you know why that Christ hasn't come back yet? What if God hasn't seen enough DNA? What if God is so expansive, so magnanimous that he says, I need somebody else who can sing in the key of E. You know what I mean? That person sings in D and F and G. That person paints with red paint. I need somebody who's going to paint with pink paint. I don't know what it is. But you got to say somehow, some reason, God sees all of time in the massive expanse that it is. It says, not yet. Jesus doesn't know, it says in Matthew, the day or the hour of his coming. Because why? Because God's waiting for all the potential that he can bring forth. That's the God we worship. That's the God we have to be energized for. Now, I want to comment, if you'll take me back, go back with me to John 17. A little technical point, because I was talking about the value proposition of us being energized by the Sabbath and holy days and being energized by daily engagement. But there's a little nuance. It's a technical Greek thing in John 17, 21. In your Bibles, King James or New King James, it will read as follows. Let's read it together. That they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. How many have art? How many have the King James? Anybody have King James? What's it say? Thou art in me, right? If you have the King James, what's it say? Are in me, right? Is are italicized? You betcha. Are is not in the original text. Three different commentaries, Ellicott's, Cambridge, and Pulpit, all concur, as many others do, that the insertion of art or are is not in the original text. Their contention, their proffer to us, that it weakens the sense of it. They offer that if you admit it, it reads as follows. That they may be one as you, Father, in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. Pause a little bit. Think of the syntax. He says, as you, Father, in me, and I in you. It's a unique phraseology that Christ sees them as possible to have more. They saw that life could be more than just them, that it's you and me. You see, we read it as are in me. No, it was the Father, it was Christ. And we can have them with us. It's an incredible concept. I ask you to ponder it a little bit. And so in this union with God and Christ, if we are individually accepting of that relationship, it necessarily follows that we must accept into that circle each other who are also following God. And as we're invited into the circle with God and Christ, I'm reminded of a little game that Robert Fulghum introduced me to, and He wrote a book in the 80s called Everything I Need to Know in Life I Learned in Kindergarten. Corey McKeegan's here today. She teaches kindergarten and first grade. Kindergarten first or second? First and second this year, she went up from kindergarten, you know what I mean? We saw them earlier today, and she had her, we weren't sure she had her kindergarten voice on, but she definitely had her kindergarten vocal. You know, Randy went to say something, and she went, "I will finish the story." You know, that's code for kindergarten. You close your mouth. You know, kind of works on husbands, it seems. But Robert Fulghum says there's this wonderful game. How many of you like to play hide and seek? You ever play hide and seek? Play hide and seek. How many of you play hide and seek in this church building? Oh, those boys aren't here today, are they? John's grandson, and they're in the classroom. Okay, so they're up there. So we won't tell them about this, okay? But we know they play hide and seek anyway. But there's also a game called sardines. In sardines, okay, one person goes and hides, and then everybody else has to go and find that person, and they have to go get in with them, okay? And then so there's two, then there's three, and then there's four, and then there's five. Do you know what happens? Do you know how they all get found in Game of Sardines? There's too much laughter going on, right? One giggles, one person touches the other. It's a game of sardines. That's what church and religious life is supposed to be like. It's supposed to be like sardines. We're supposed to say, come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Get energized. You're energized with God. I'm energized with God. When we experience this unity of God, as Barnes says, it flows into our relationships in an indissoluble, united way. What does indissoluble mean? Our Mr. Chemist back here knows. The other chemist is upstairs teaching, right? And it means what? It means it's unable to be dissolved. When we think about our church and people in it, the union of those people is undissolvable because of who we're with. If we think about it that way, it changes how we think about other people. You know, so as I reflect, how are we fostering unity, inclusiveness within our family, our church, and community? That's a tough question. It's a very insightful question. Something that I'm saying, I'm not sure I always have the answer to. But I know this, that if we encourage each other, if we make the observation that we can help each other, stay connected, stay energized, re-energized with God, then we have more and not less. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, it says what? By love and service with each other. That is how it happens. How is there oneness? By love and service. Love and service. You know, I just want to take a moment. And I don't know, and for those of on Zoom, it applies to everybody. You know, I just hope, and I hope. I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to the elders, their wives, and families. You know, I don't know what another church is, because we've got the best. Okay, I don't care. I don't care about the other congregation, but Bakersfield, Los Angeles, we've got the best. Because why? They love you. Hands down, no, your worst day, best day, no matter what, right? You can ask them to do anything. They do it. They love you. And that's how you get to love other people. It's a circle of life. Disney's right. They got the right theme out of the book. This book, it's a circle of life. It's incredible. I thank them. I appreciate their hearts of love and service. Because together, we make a wonderful, energizing team. A family. You know, I found a phrase in one of the commentaries. I made a comment. It says, with respect to unity, because you think of being one, and now you think of oneness, and now you're trying to think, oh, how do we make sure that we're unified? And oh, unified. Unity is not about uniformity. Unity is about harmony in whom we trust. Who do all of us, 100% of us in this room, trust? God and Jesus Christ. They will not let us down. You know, I'm going to be sick someday. Well, the elders and deacons are going to be sick. They can't make it. They can't answer the phone, whatever, whatever. But God and Jesus Christ will never let you down. Our unity is if we trust in them, we have all the energy we need. We have all the enthusiasm we need. We have all the ideas we need because they love mankind. They formed it from their love, from their desire to share. This is why. We don't need unity as in we all speak exactly and oh, and we all have the red tie. You see my red tie? And white shirt? Uniformity. That's not the uniformity we need. We need uniformity in him whom we trust. We trust in God and Jesus Christ to see us through a crisis we never thought we could see our way through. Some of you have gone through things that I can't imagine. Now, I'll tell you how that happens. Go down to verse 22 and 24. You see, when we reflect on this, that Jesus is bringing us in to be with he and God. That's what he's doing. He understands his purpose. He understands it. Notice what he says in verse 22. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one as we are one. And in verse 24, Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, and that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Glory. Why? Not to make us have halos, not that we're perfect people. He gives us a glory, an essence of holiness to bind us. We're given this by Christ, not a glory to shine on that we're great. We're great because in whom we trust. Because we accept that Jesus Christ does for your soul what no one else can do. We must believe this, preach this, live this, communicate it every day. It allows us to be in the circle with God. Because in God's circle, where Jesus Christ says, you're with us. You're inside us. So if Jesus Christ prayed to the Father that he would grant us entrance into the circle, thus the family, and that relationship provides some glory because we begin to absorb and reflect that glory and attitude of their motive of love, their motive of inclusiveness. In our world today, everybody wants to be included someplace. We say with God and Jesus Christ, you can be. You can be your whole self. You can be a remade self. We believe in transformation that only occurs with the power of God. Those are lofty sayings. It's the truth. If you and I don't believe it's the truth, then we need to go and get that revitalization going. Because that's what we believe. We have no secret sauce. We have God. We have the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ, and we have what? Restored souls. Psalm 107 verse 9 says that he will fill the hungry soul with goodness. If your soul's empty, if you're, some of you young people, you're going to have a soul moment, and you're going to say, where do I go? And I want you to remember that you go to Jesus Christ. He's the answer, the light, the truth, and the way. We can preach nothing else because this is where we gain our harmony. This is where we regain our oneness because we're accepted with God. Our value proposition is to go to God. Our value proposition is be reconciled to he who has the power to restore your soul. This is where we reside. This is our value to everything. This is who and what we are as a Christian community. We take our energy, our strength, everything from Jesus Christ and God. Because they loved us. It's not hard to share this faith, is it? It's not hard to share all these testimonies and all these things. You know what I mean? Because you become caring. You know what I mean? You care about, you know, well, hey, somebody's carrying a load. Can I help you to the car with that? It's a simple thing, but guess what? It just flows from you. Where do you think it comes from? It comes because you're at one with God. Because you and Jesus Christ are buds, whatever you want to say, it works. You know, turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. You know, you can talk in verse 23, which I'm not going to cover, about they're made perfect in one, and Bob did such a wonderful job talking about perfect that we don't have to talk about it. And so, but I want to, you know, if you think about, we oftentimes says, well, we have to share a reason for the hope that lies within us, 1 Peter 3:15. I think we've come to see that those elevator speeches have got to be pithy, they've got to be crisp, they have to be clear, and they have to point to one source and one source only. God, Christ. Notice what he says, and Paul puts it this way, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. I like it because of the concept he says. Look, now we then are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. Just us poor people. Just us Joe Schmoes, right? He says, look, as God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. No matter what, be reconciled to God. God wants you. He's accepting you. He is the Father that's looking out over the hill on the prodigal son. He is waiting for everybody to come home. He's waiting for them to accept the invitation of Jesus Christ. I understand this is not the only day of salvation for everybody. I get that. But I think we spend so much time worrying about it's the only day of salvation, we never tell people how we have a cleansed soul. I don't have a cleansed soul because I keep the Sabbath and the holy days. I have a cleansed soul because Jesus Christ cleansed it. And guess what? My value proposition is I am connected. I'm rejuvenated. I'm energized through the Sabbath and holy days. These are what keep me focused on the big screen, on the big picture, on the holy days, on the plan of God. Why? What is so important about the Sabbath and holy days is that God loves all. That's the point. The point is God desires, 2 Timothy 2:4, right, that God desires all men to be saved. Do we believe this to all the heart and core of our being? That's what it's about. That's why we share the news. That's where we get the energy, the revitalization from. That our God is going to save all mankind, past, present, and future. That's how big our God is. We get lost in the weeds with this. And God says, look, I'm pleading through these little people here, you and I. I'm not saying little as in we're nobody. We're everything to God. He's pleading through us, be reconciled to God. This is the answer to people's loneliness, to people's waywardness. We believe what? In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we confess them. Whoever you are, we believe that God does that. He did it for me. He will do it for you. We have confidence in this. We know it. And we are transparent because we say, what's Psalms 34 verse 8 say? Taste and see that God is good. Taste and see that God is good. God will help your soul. We have to believe and know this. C.S. Lewis has a lovely chapter in Mere Christianity. He talks about helping people to get on the property of Christianity, getting them on the porch. He even goes to say, get them in the hallway. We're all worried about, well, getting them to choose door number two. The only way to truth and life from God is door number two. Just got to get in door two. Look, I don't know. I don't know what all the other churches have to say. A little bit. Okay, what I know is that if people need reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Now, I submit to you that we have a lot more fun, that we are a lot more energized, that we're a lot more focused on the grandness of God's plan through the Sabbath and holy days. Because without the holy days, without the Feast of Tabernacles, without the concept of the latter harvest, without the eighth day, where are you left? In Jesus Christ and only crucified. What good is it to be with God if there's not everybody with God? The oneness, the magnanimous. When Jesus says that they may be one as you in me and I in you, there's room in that sentence for me and them and them and them and more thems. That is an incredible value proposition. As C.S. Lewis says, let's get them on the property. Let's get them on the porch. And then God will work out where they're going to worship, where they're going to fellowship. I have to leave some things to God. I don't know about you. I can't direct everything. Some of us try, right? Oh, we want to, you know, put our little things up. How many of us parents stop trying to wiggle all the things? We can't make them choose math all the time. Some of them are music majors, right? This is where we live. I have one call easy call to action. Tune in to God daily, weekly, through Sabbath and holy days, and watch your life be refreshed. Watch your value proposition of who and what God is expand, because that's what they do. Other people have a very narrow view of God. You and I, through the Sabbath and holy days, have the most expansive view of any religious group out there. There is no other religious group. This is the message of the eighth day. I didn't mean to give an eighth-day message, but this is where it is. The message of the eighth day is what? Is that God intends to save all mankind. That there's a latter harvest. That God's not going to leave anybody willing out. No other religious group has this focus. They don't have a holy day for it. They can't think about it. You can't get it out of Easter. You can't get it out of Christmas. You can't get it out of Hanukkah. You can't get it out of Halloween for sure. Where you get it from? You get it from God himself, and this is how he gave it to us. This is wonderful. Tune on to God's portal. Engage with God daily. Get a direct line to him. What's it say? Romans 6:23, so I don't quote it wrong. What's it say? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gift of God. Everybody needs this gift. You want to give them a gift? This is the gift you give. Get connected with God. Buy in. Claim this prayer in John 17. Claim this prayer for your life and mine. That Jesus prayed for them who would believe through their word. That Jesus prayed for you. Whether you're 13, 26, 96, Mrs. Velasquez at 100. Is she 100 yet, John? Not quite. Two more years. She's almost there. Let's give her two. Okay? Look, this is what we need. He prayed for us that we may be one, as you, Father, in me, and I in you, that they would be one with us. Jesus prayed that for you and me. He prayed it, more importantly, for every person who's ever lived. That is powerful. That is big. Let's close with John 17, verse 26. And I have declared to them your name. I will declare that the love which with you loved me may be in them and I in them. The love we have for God, Jesus Christ, and each other comes from God. That is deep. It's meaningful. Let's claim it. Let's use it, because the end in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 11, to them be the glory, the honor, and dominion forever. Amen.